It's been a relatively calm day on Wall Street.
Finally, a relief to many after a wild week in global markets that has raised big concerns about China and the global economy. Joining us now with his perspective is Mohammed El-Erian. He's former CEO of the world's largest bond fund, PIMCO, chief economic advisor at Allianz SE, and he's also the chair of President Obama's Global Development Council. Mohammed El-Erian, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So what do you make of what we've seen in the stock market? How do you explain it over the last week or so?
So it's been an amazing roller coaster. The origin of this volatility were two things. One, the repricing of global growth prospects. This on evidence that China and other emerging economies are slowing down. And second, the repricing of this incredible faith that the markets have had in central banks. Because after all, if the source of the disruption is coming from outside the United States, from outside Europe, it's much harder for these central banks to be able to contain it. So that was the origin. And then the technicals took hold. What do I mean by technicals? I mean when people are forced to do things. So we saw people forced to sell because they were overlevered. And the result of that were massive volatility. And we've gone through an amazing roller coaster that has raised questions not only about the underlying strength of the markets, but also about the functioning of the markets.
And when you say that people were looking at central banks and what central banks could do, is that the only weapon in the American arsenal to keep our economy safe from whatever happens in China or the developing world?
Unfortunately, yes, in practice. Not in theory, in practice. In theory, we have a whole range of tools that have been underutilized. Tools to improve our productivity. Tools to make the labor market work better. But they've been paralyzed by political dysfunction. So the result of that is that the only game in town when it comes to policies has been the Federal Reserve. And the markets have been conditioned to believe that the Federal Reserve is their best friend. So as soon as you shake that confidence, what you get is a market repricing and you get incredible volatility.
So when do you expect the Fed will raise interest rates? And do you think it would be a mistake if the Fed raised interest rates next month as they had been planning to do?
So what's interesting is immediately after this disruption, we got indications out of the Fed from the president of the New York Fed, Bill Dudley, that the case for a September rate hike is, quote, less compelling. So immediately the Fed had the dovish remarks, and that helped stabilize the market along with stronger U.S. data. So I think the Fed will most likely wait. It won't go ahead in September, even though the domestic case to go forward is there. I think the international environment is simply too uncertain. And I don't think the Fed wants to fuel market instability at this point.
What about China? What should China be doing? They've tried a lot of things and some have worked better than others. But what would you think that they ought to do right now to try to stabilize things in that economy?
So there's two questions about China, the finance and the economics. On the finance side, China fell into the trap that we fell into with housing 10 years ago. We believed that it was a social priority to have higher and higher home ownership. So we promoted housing and we blew a bubble in the housing market. They've done exactly the same thing in the stock market. They believed that stock ownership was part of their journey to a market system. And they encouraged it and created a massive bubble in the stock market. So they're trying now to soft land that bubble. And as we discovered, it's not easy. It is not easy when you've sucked in so many people.
Should there be a fiscal stimulus, do you think, in China?
No, I don't think there should be a fiscal stimulus. If anything, they should continue their move towards market-based system where they rely less on the state. That's what's desirable. What's likely is that they're going to go backwards a little bit and go back to their comfort zone, which is try to take more control of both the financial sector and the economy.
One of the other things that happens when we have a roller coaster week like this on Wall Street is that people start to question a lot of things that they took for granted before, things that might be weaknesses in the U.S. economy. What do you think is the biggest weakness right now in the U.S. economy?
I think the biggest weakness is that we cannot get beyond third gear. So we will grow. We will grow at 2.5% to 3%. We will be the locomotive of global growth, but we will be a weak locomotive. We're not yet at economic liftoff, and we're capable of that. So my biggest concern is that we are not investing enough in our growth potential, and we risk lowering our growth potential.
So what should we be doing?
We should be going back to the use of the whole tools. And we have, in particular, three things we need to do. One is structural reforms to improve our productivity, and that speaks to infrastructure, fiscal reform. Two is we've got to better match the will and the wallet to spend. And that means we've got to look at and be honest about this enormous increase in inequality that's causing aggregate demand to be lower than what it should be. And finally, we have pockets of excessive indebtedness in the system. And we've got to deal with those pockets of excessive indebtedness. Otherwise, they're going to crush these segments.
When you say excessive indebtedness, are you talking about student loan debt?
Yes, that is something that we should be worried about today. We shouldn't wait for 5-10 years, because the last thing we want is a lost generation.
Do you have a solution for the student loan debt bubble?
Yeah, I do. I think you have to look at this and recognize that part of the educational process is contributing to social mobility, is contributing to productivity. And you've got to come up with ways to restructure this debt in an orderly fashion. It can be done. It just requires political commitment to solving this issue before it becomes too hard to solve.
Mohamed El Arian, former CEO of PIMCO, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.